The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
All right, let's go. I have so many exclusive stories from listener tips today. Stuff you're not going to hear anyplace else. We're coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to the weekend. Welcome to this Friday afternoon edition of The Dory Monson Show. Strap yourself in. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
You may recall when the COVID, I made a three-syllable word, the COVID epidemic first happened, Governor Inslee shut down lots of businesses. There was absolutely no public health reason to do so, but Jay Inslee, with his newly self-imposed emergency powers 2 years ago, I guess he wanted to see just how much control he could take over our lives and over the economy and how many small businesses he could destroy with his newfound power, all for the stated reason of public health. I need to do this, he said, to stop the epidemic. Only I can save lives, Jay Inslee said. And so he shut down people like Barber Bob Martin in Snohomish, the Stag Barbershop. Well, he tried to shut him down, but Bob Martin is an 81-year-old Marine, and he has a disabled veteran, and he had two other disabled Army guys who cut hair at his shop, and they had families, the guys who cut hair in his shop. They had kids. In fact, Bob, I know one of those families lives on Bob's property, just to help the guy make ends meet. Bob said, I can't shut down my barbershop because, and remember, back then, employment security in Washington State was an absolute disaster. People tried for days and weeks to get through busy signals. We find out that Nigerians were taking $1 billion of taxpayer money. It wasn't an inside job, they tell us. And people couldn't get unemployment benefits. People were putting their weekly groceries on their credit cards back then, something that's happening a lot now because of inflation, different reason. But Jay Inslee wanted to close down barbershops. He did close down restaurants. A friend who owns Spiffy's down in Centralia, Chehalis, the area there. After 50 years in business, Spiffy's closed permanently after the shutdown. He got hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines from Jay Inslee in the state of Washington because it was so dangerous for a 50-year restaurant in Centralia, I think Chehalis, I keep saying Centralia, to be open during a pandemic because people will die. And the Billy's Cafe up in Burlington, he wanted to shut down Billy's Cafe, and he told Billy, I'm going to fine you hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's all for public health. A listener brought up a very good point to me. This listener emailed me and said, hey, Dory, are you going to report that the gay bathhouses are still open across America even after Biden issued an emergency for monkeypox? And then he names the main Seattle bathhouse, which I'm not going to name. And I'll explain why in just a minute. But he sent me to their website. Jay Inslee has declared, and King County have declared monkeypox to be an epidemic. And it's transmitted primarily through gay sex, 99% of the monkeypox cases. Now, I couldn't care less if a gay person, an adult, if they want to have anonymous sex with other men, even in the middle of a monkeypox epidemic, I don't care. That's none of my business. And that's why I'm not going to name this business, because just as I think the barbershops and the restaurants shouldn't have been closed down, I don't know, I don't think this business should be closed down. If everybody's an adult and everybody understands the risks and everybody's willing to assume the risks, my consistent position is if you wanted to go to a bar, during COVID, you should have been allowed to go to a bar. If you wanted to go out to eat, you should have been allowed to. If you wanted to go get a haircut, you should have been allowed to. If you want to go have gay anonymous sex, you should be allowed to. And so I just am staying consistent on this. What I do want to point out is the unbelievable hypocrisy and inconsistency of Jay Inslee. So I went to the website that this listener tipped me off to this main Seattle bathhouse. On the homepage, 18 and over, valid ID required, but then with an asterisk, anonymous entry available. Because apparently it's a big deal in the sort of business to have anonymous sex with people, maybe with lots of people. And that says on the homepage, vaccination proof not required for entry. So we had to show for a long time during the COVID epidemic, you had to show your vaccination card to get into a restaurant. But now in a different epidemic that is spread through sexual contact, you don't have to be vaccinated against monkeypox. You don't have to be vaccinated against COVID. You don't have to be vaccinated. Again, I don't care. Doesn't affect me at all. Then you go to the club rules. Club rules are interesting. Private rooms, we respect your right to play privately or in public. Public rooms are available in several sizes as well. All room categories have private flat screen TVs, private douche stations are available in the club. Public play areas, including our labyrinth of glory holes. And so, again, that's so you can have anonymous sex. I don't even know what this is. I'm not even going to read. I don't know what some of these things are that are available there. A public sling, 19 digital channels of the latest porn, great music, sexy masculine grooves to get you in the mood, on and on and on. Free condoms available. Do I think this business should be shut down during a monkeypox pandemic? No. The people who go there are adults. They undoubtedly know the risks, and they've chosen, for whatever reason, that the reward of going there is greater than the risk of going there. But my question is, why? When Jay Inslee shut down restaurants and bars and barbershops during the COVID pandemic for public health reasons, because we had to stop the spread, shut down, stay home, just turn it all off for a couple of weeks. You don't have to go out. Just stop the spread is what he told us. And our economy got turned upside down and businesses were wiped out. And some because of his ridiculous shutdown mandate of restaurants and bars. Shut down permanently. Jay Inslee destroyed some small business owners, taxpayers, job creators in our society, because Jay Inslee said he had to do so to stop the spread for public health reasons. So can somebody explain to me how Jay Inslee has not, or King County Public Health, they were all on board. They have the mask mandates. They had all the other stuff, the vaccine mandates. You have to show a vaccine card to get into a restaurant. Can somebody explain how Jay Inslee and Dow Constein and King County Public Health, when they shut down restaurants and bars and barbershops during the COVID pandemic, how they don't shut down a bathhouse where men go to have anonymous sex during a monkeypox pandemic? And again, in case somebody just tuned in the last 30 seconds, I don't want anybody to get me wrong. I don't think this bathhouse should be shut down. I don't care what adults choose to do in their free time, as long as it doesn't impact any innocent people. And everybody there is of their own free will and of their own free volition. But How can Jay Inslee justify such a one-way side of justice in his state that he destroyed certain categories of business to stop the spread, but in a category of business where specifically the spread risk, I mean, if you go to the King County Public Health, it says the people most at risk for monkeypox are people who have had, primarily men who have sex with men. If you have had 10 or more sex partners in the last 3 months, which, as I noted a couple of days ago, is like more than three lifetimes for some of us, but 10 or more sex partners in the last 3 months. And they specifically say if you patronize bathhouses. So they've identified that as a specific high-risk place where monkeypox is being spread in the early days of this epidemic. And yet they will not shut down that business when they shut down restaurants and bars and barbershops. It is, wait a second, Nicole, you're sending me a breaking news text as we're speaking.
So if you'd like to go to your email, I just sent you Inslee's directive regarding monkeypox.
Oh, really? This is breaking news. Mm-hmm. This is exciting to have this come out while we're talking about this. He's issued a broad range of actions, conducting comprehensive public outreach, prioritizing equitable distribution of treatments, supporting provider education to ensure the monkeypox vaccine is maximized, monitoring case counts, convening a series of roundtables. Oh, he's going to have some roundtables.
Roundtables.
Well, that'll stop the monkeypox dead in its tracks. Working with local health jurisdictions and maintaining adequate testing capacity.
I mean,
is he shutting down?
Nope, not shutting down anything. No special protection that you should take. Precautions, I guess. Yeah, no, none of that.
That seems to be a bit of a double standard to me. And this is what I talk about. This is a state, and we're seeing this certainly in the United States of America as well, but this is a state where there is clearly two systems of justice. One, if you aren't on the far left and Jay Inslee or Bobby Ferguson, Fergie, disagrees with you ideologically, they'll try to crush you. They'll try to crush you. If you're a most small business owners, restaurant, bar, barbershops, they'll try to destroy you in the name of public health. But if you own a gay bathhouse, that's perfectly acceptable and they won't do anything to your business in the middle of a epidemic. I believe that all these businesses, I think the restaurants, the bars, and the barbershops should have been treated the way the bathhouse is being treated now. Everybody assumes the risk. Everybody goes out and they make their own decisions. But no, we have a two-way system of justice. If you are part of a group that is considered to be politically correct, predominantly on the left, then the governor won't touch you. Dow Constein won't. Public health won't. If you're a good, hard-working person who spent your life savings to open a little restaurant or bar, they'll destroy you. It's really amazing. It's absolutely amazing to have such a blatant, glaring example of how justice is not uniform. And that's when America and Washington State are at their most dangerous. If you can be targeted by government simply because of your ideology, or if you can have government as a protection arm simply because of your ideology, then that is not America. I'll be very curious if this pandemic increases, when they say there's a specific category of business where the epidemic is spread most virulently, and Jay Inslee won't do anything. because of what the category of business is. After he destroyed so many restaurants and bars, it is amazing. All right, up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
And then we talk all the time about the homeless industrial complex. I will have for you a little bit later in the show today. We talk all the time about the Low Income Housing Institute called LIHI. Their executive director, Sharon Lee, makes $217,000 a year. And we hear all this rhetoric from government about the plan to end homelessness. Do you think somebody who makes $217,000 a year off of the homeless industrial complex really wants to end homelessness? A listener sent us something very interesting. Our listener was at the Alderbrook Resort, beautiful resort, very nice place. I've heard really good things. And they sent us a picture of one of the conference rooms at the Alderbrook Resort. And there was a meeting of LIHI. Now, could there be another organization with the acronym LIHI, LIHI, besides the Low Income Housing Institute? Yeah, possibly. But here's what we've done. We've contacted LIHI, the Low Income Housing Institute. We said, hey, you're telling us there's not enough money for homelessness. A listener tells us you had a conference at Alderbrook Resort. I mean, they have a conference room at the LIHI offices on South Jackson. So we got the room rates. They were also having a breakfast buffet, a lunch buffet. We contacted LIHI. The guy that Nicole talked to said, I'm going to talk to Sharon Lee about this. We'll get back to you. And then they've gone absolutely silent on us for 3 days now, which suggests that this is the right LIHI. But wait until I give you what the room rates are, what the breakfast buffet costs, what the lunch buffet costs, what the conference rooms cost. And if somebody can explain to me why the homeless industrial complex is spending thousands of dollars at a swanky resort instead of having a conference in a conference room at their offices on South Jackson, you will understand why I believe that there is so much graft and corruption going on. Grift? Graft. Grift. In the homeless industrial complex, that it's not going to end anytime soon. And there is a motivation for all of these people to make the homelessness problem worse in our region. I'll give you the money details coming up a little bit later in the big show. That is your Big Lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Coming up next, we were going to talk to this guy a couple of days ago, but we've rescheduled it for today. Somebody, because of some of the things that are being imposed, some of the radical ideology that's being imposed on children in this region, he is moving his family out of state. A lot of people say they're going to do that, but we have proof that this person's actually doing it, and he's going to tell his story next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, this is a story that we have covered rather extensively the last couple of months. There is a wonderful organization that has been a source of happiness for a lot of families here in the Puget Sound area for decades and decades and decades. It's the Greater Seattle Summer Swim League, but it's been just ripped apart by turmoil in the last year or so because some extreme gender theory activists have infiltrated this children's organization. Like I said, an organization that's been around forever, and they have seemingly made transgender kids a particular focus of this organization, which means boys, biological boys, competing against girls, sharing locker rooms with girls. Steve Abramowitz was a parent in this program, and he joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Steve, it's good to talk to you this afternoon.
Hi, Dory. Thank you so much. I admire you very much.
Thank you. That's very nice of you to say. So tell me this journey. What has happened with the Seattle Summer Swim League over the last year or so?
Well, trying not to cry, my daughter, who is a girl biologically and
you know what?
Her own opinion.
I knew that when you said use the word daughter. I'm one of those old-fashioned guys, Steve.
Oh, because you read probably, or at least know.
Well,
the
and because I have three daughters too. But,
there you go. That too. Okay.
Okay.
We know the difference.
All right, go ahead.
So, like you, I'm a concerned parent, who saw something that I just could not abide. And I saw a board, a task force, sorry, created by a board from a league that I had to do a little research to find out who these people were, because it's not just a monolith. These are actually people making these decisions. And they said, we are going to pass a bylaw in April that allows some pretty sketchy stuff. Number one would be the men's locker rooms have to open for the girls' locker rooms have to open for men, and I guess vice versa. Right. Then I saw that they were going to have these things called EOs, equity officers, unscreened, no background checks necessary, volunteers walking around the 16 clubs asking kids out of earshot of the coaches and the parents, especially, sexual orientation questions. That's against what's called the safe sport laws, okay? But they were going to do it anyway because this person said we're going to do it. And then it was big uproar, I should say, and they kicked the ape October. It died down, went away, but this summer they had those clipboards, and those who knew about it said, don't you dare ask my kids any questions or I'll sue you. Ironically enough, those kids weren't asked, but others were. And now October's coming fast, and I tell you, because I only have a few seconds with you, this is the end of women's sports in Washington. Mark my words.
Absolutely. And nationwide, because the Biden administration has talked about this at the federal level being codified. And, you know, what I talk about all the time, Steve, you have a daughter who's an athlete. I coached high school girls sports for a long, long time. The fastest woman in the world a couple of years ago, her name was Allison Felix. There were 300 high school boys who ran faster than the fastest woman in the world. So yes, to suggest that we should just take biologically different people and mix them up in the sports world, it absolutely 100% is the end of women's sports, as you say.
But here's the kicker. This gentleman, I almost said his name, who is a she, her on in, so that's his choice, her choice, says publicly, you can see it online, if a child thinks they're a other gender, they have to start the cycle of drugs at age 9. And that means that the doctors have to prescribe it and the parents have to go with it. And if they don't, they won't be at their full potential by age 14, which means they can no longer compete. They now must only do exhibitions. So their careers are over. So who does that hurt? Does that hurt the transgender boy? No. Does that hurt? Well, yes, but not in competition. Leah Thomas seems to be doing pretty well. He was ranked pretty low, and now he's number one.
Right.
Does it hurt the boys? No. They say, bring it on. I'll take on all comers because I'm already at the top. It hurts the girls. Their muscle mass is smaller. They're shorter. You name it. You have girls. You know.
Well, and, I mean, you look at Leah Thomas. Leah Thomas towers over the other girls that Leah Thomas is competing against. Leah Thomas has huge feet, which, like Michael Phelps does, which can act as flippers against biologically smaller people in the competition. No, it makes no sense. So.
Well, you nailed it. How would you like to see, like Billie Jean King did in the 70s? How would you like to see Michael Phelps against Leah Thomas? Who do you think's going to win? So you automatically, and this is the kicker. I think I said that already. So another kicker. There's a 70-year, and you mentioned this of being long-term, 70-year scoreboard at one of the schools, one of the swim clubs. They want to take it down, the board does. And ironically enough, the husband and wife owner are kind of into this. They want to take down the records that people's grandkids and great-grandfathers, you know, or daughters, granddaughters, achieve. And go do away with sex at all and just say swim by age. What does that do for the girls? It puts them at a disadvantage. It's not fair. And of course there's the drugs. Of course there's the locker room horrors. I'd hate to be the one who has to come home and hear about that. And then there's this, the fairness for women. I'm just a concerned dad. That's all I am. That's why we're having this chat.
Yeah, I mean, because they say that it's a matter of fairness for the transgender kids. First of all, nine-year-olds, to begin to biologically, medically change 9 and 10 and 11-year-olds is just an abomination. And any doctor who's a part of that, I believe, should be arrested for child mutilation. I really,
school
really
counselors,
believe
counselors, nurses, doctors, yes. Parents, grandparents. I mean, it is a demonic family tree. You know, it's not good. We don't even know if these things cause cancer or brain damage or what they do. They're just saying you got to do it at age 9. And look at the statistics of people who said, I regret that. They suppress that in the news.
Let me ask you, I want to stay focused on the Greater Seattle Summer Swim League for a moment. I heard from one parent who told me about a team of 8 U-12 girls, and 5 of the 8 in this league identify as either non-binary or transgender. I've heard that those 5 are pressuring the other 3 to do the same thing. I'm hearing from parents in that league, Steve, who tell me that the kids who identify as non-binary and trans are cutting themselves, that there is a wave, a blanket of depression that is hanging over a league that has always been a source of joy and light in people's lives.
Oh, yes. I mean, that's the beauty of it. That's why it's lasted so long in Seattle when it's raining all the time. But the Summer Swim League has been a joy for divers and swimmers to get exercise, to get vitamin D in their skin, to get to know friends, to spend all summer long, late nights when the sun doesn't go down, out there by the pool with the barbecue and the family to come watch them swim. I mean, we did this for 15 years for my daughter. My son, you know, he's 2 years older, but same thing. And she was a champion, and she doesn't get to graduate on the podium in 2 years when she's a senior like they always do because she's done. But by the way, the 40-year champion coach left for Texas. The next assistant has also left, I think, Texas, maybe Tennessee like me. I don't know. But they've destroyed it. They took something good, which is something beautiful, and they made it awful, all for the minority. And by the way, the person that I'm not going to say his name, her name, there's 7 kids at his swim team, just that. The statistics say 1 out of every 2,000 people may be gender dysphoria or to say that. Right. Something's going on there.
Oh, yeah. No, statistically, it is impossible to have 5 out of 8 girls on a U-12 team. I mean, when you and I were kids, none of us, boys or girls, thought about gender identity before age 12. It has become a fad. If you want to be part of the in crowd, you have to say that you're something you're not. And there's tremendous peer pressure to do this. So
the ones I feel the worst for are the ones who are going to say, you know, I'm a pretty good swimmer at age 8, 9. I've won a couple of red ribbons. I love that. I want to keep going. And they say, well, you know, you walk kind of like a boy. You may want to consider the hormone therapy if you want to compete forever because whatever. I mean, when I was a kid, I thought I was going to be a professional soccer player. Then I wanted to be in the NFL. Reality set in, but certainly didn't shoot hormones into myself and ruin my entire reproductive system or potentially brain damage because I wanted to swim in a summer rec league.
I got you. All right. Hey, Steve, hold on. We're talking with Steve Abramowitz. He is moving his family out of the region, out of the state, because of all the craziness that kids are being exposed to. And in particular, this Greater Seattle Summer Swim League, which is being taken over by radicals. We'll continue our conversation with Steve in just a moment here on the Dory Monson Show. I'm talking with Steve Abramowitz. He is a local dad, and he is moving his family. And I've heard that threat many, many times, but this one is for real. In fact, as we are talking, Steve, you are in an echoey place because you're in an empty house. Is this a single issue for you? Your family, you told me you got out of King County. How long ago did you get out of King County because of all the craziness?
Well, long story short, we moved from Bellevue to Seattle in 2007. Again, Bellevue was an amazing place to get married and have my first home and work and do everything we wanted to do outdoors and you name it. Then we moved to Seattle thinking, oh, Seattle's so great. It's got diversity. It's got culture. It's got food. It's got you name it. And then we started having kids. We have two, as I said. And we got involved in their schools. They happened to be in Catholic school. Then I got involved in the board of my religious organization. It happened to be a synagogue, largest out west of the Mississippi. And between the Catholic Church and that, and Seattle's mayor, and all the crazy infrastructure, and all the BLM, and all the rest, we said, we're getting out of King County. This place is nuts. Right. How do you defend cops, defund cops, in a world where I'm supportive of police? My newspaper is always talking about how great the police are. Big Fort Meade fans. So anyway, we left, and we moved to Snohomish County.
Well, so you've discovered with this this issue, though, that you can't get out of the craziness if you stay in the Puget Sound area, so you're leaving the state?
Leaving the state today. As soon as we get off the phone, I head east. You spend the night in Spokane and then off to Nashville. I'll be back. I have business here. I own a newspaper in Snohomish County. Two of them, actually, Snohomish View and the Mill Creek View. Okay. And so I'll be here, but my daughter won't be, and that's the key. It's, we are leaving Washington because Inslee and Reichdahl and Ferguson and now County Commissioner Summers up here taking over all of the health departments into one. That looks ominous. And I'm not going to let her be vaccinated to go back to school. I'm not going to let her wear a mask, which they're advocating because it's fungus and gross. And I'm going to let her be the best woman she possibly can be. And the school in Tennessee recruited her to swim and play tennis without the nonsense and without risking her life, her future, with all this experimental CRT and gender dysphoria stuff. I'm sorry, but I'm a concerned dad, and I want the best for her. That's it. And Seattle is not, or I should say Washington, is not providing the best for their young women. Do you think they are?
I did a big monologue last week on my show about why. Why are we doing this to our children? Why are we allowing adults with their agenda? Because kids would never worry about this issue. There might be, a tiny, tiny, tiny minority, a fraction of 1%. Who would have thought of this if it wasn't being pushed by adults who are trying to use children as pawns in their very adult agenda. I just think it's sick. I think it is perverse what we are doing.
There's a profit motive,
children.
There's a conflicted profit motive that the pharmaceutical industry, which now has all the money in the world, mm-hmm. post-vaccines, is pushing down to the level. So this individual I talked about used to be with Seattle Public Schools, of course. You can go online and you can see him talking about pronouns and reading to kids about identity. Now he has a private consulting firm. And so does the other person on the task force. There's only four. So two of them are conflicted financially to push this down this level at the women's expense. It's like Nike used to do when they said, well, we're going to support college. Well, now we're going to support high schools. Well, now we're going to support elementary schools, and we'll sign Tiger Woods when he's two. Like, it's the same business model, I personally believe. And then there's the demonic side, but that's another story.
No, but we won't get into that now because we're almost out of time, but I absolutely believe that that is a part of this story. You're a very passionate man. Obviously, you are a great parent if you're willing to uproot your family because you want to do what's best for your kids. What's your summation of what we're doing to our children these days, societally?
It's child abuse. China and Russia and North Korea are laughing at us. It's driven by a far left utopian mindset that makes absolutely nonsense.
I might use the word dystopian there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm being ironic. they have a great reset in mind, and people like you and me who think for ourselves, read a book on occasion, vote, are not part of that equation. And if we do and think we can cling to that, we just had an election on Tuesday and we were watching it very closely to say, like, have people woke up? Is this now the time? Has it gotten so bad after lockdowns and emergency powers for 1,000 days for Inslee, et cetera, have they figured it out? The answer is resoundingly no. Less than 20% turnout up here, maybe 24 down there in King County. That is unbelievable. And so that leads me to believe that the people are with it. In a democracy, that's what you got to do. The people are with it. Well, Florida, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Texas, Idaho, not with it. I think it's part of the I mean, you said, what's going to happen here? Could it be the great divorce where the mass migration, everybody becomes red or bluer? I don't know, but our enemies, like I said, China are laughing at us. And here we have Nancy Pelosi over there trying to make a tough stand. And they're probably like, well, bring it. You know, we got a billion people to fight tomorrow. You got a bunch of people who want to go to college and learn how to tell people what drugs to take to change their genitalia. It's crazy. Yeah. Never thought in my lifetime this would happen.
As we've both acknowledged, there's another enemy involved here as well. Steve, it's good talking with you. I admire the resolve that your wife and daughter are already back in Tennessee. You're on your way there later today. And it's a shame that because, like you said, every time we lose somebody like you with some traditional values, it means that vacuum's being filled by insanity around here. And I'm sorry that it's come to that, but I appreciate you talking with me about this.
Well, if you come to Nashville, I'll buy you a bourbon, so I look forward to seeing you there.
Okay, you got it. All right, Steve, God bless you and your family. Thanks for talking with me.
God bless you.
Steve Abramowitz, off to Tennessee because of the radical gender theory that we are doing, what we're doing to our children, what we're doing to our girls in particular. It is simply outrageous. Love to hear your thoughts on all this. You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show.